Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
With us, that is 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live, and with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Nikki.
And I want to go right into your phone calls and thoughts. We have Ross. Ross, I didn't call or ask you where you're calling from tonight.
Yeah, hi, my name's Ross. I'm calling from Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Okay, and what did you have on your mind tonight to share with us, Ross?
Well, first and foremost, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. I love you guys.
Thank you. I listen nightly.
In terms of what you're talking about, in terms of supernatural experiences, working in, like, long-term care facilities and or hospitals, I can weigh in on this, especially in the spirit of what was now past Halloween. But, yeah, I work in one of the second oldest hospital in the United States.
Wow. That's actually really cool.
Yeah. The original building still exists, and it was the almshouse of Lancaster County, and it was built in 1799.
Oh, I want to look that up. What is it? How do you spell the almshouse?
Yeah, alms, A-L-M-S. Hmm. It was the poorhouse, basically, for the entire county. And rumor has it, it was first and foremost built upon, like, a native burial ground, which is kind of creepy in and of itself, but then over the years it became also a potter's field, like nameless people, the crazies and whatnot, would be entered into there, and when they died they would just kind of like put them in unmarked graves.
Yeah.
So what happened was in 1968 they decided to modernize the facility, and they built a much larger building, which is like 8 stories high.
Wow.
Adjacent to the existing structure, which still stands, and it's in beautiful shape. So, recent events, they started doing some renovations on the 8th floor, which would be the apex of the building.
That's huge.
And
8 floors.
I'm a nurse. I've been a nurse for 16 years, and there are some creepy energies, like, you know, vibing around the place. The county morgue is in the basement, what used to be the county morgue. So, like, the coroner's office used to be down there as well. So this place is, like, full of weird energy.
Yeah.
So what they're reporting on the 8th floor of this building, some of my fellow nurses have come down from night shift and questioned other night shift nurses, and they're like, yeah, you got stories? So there's this male entity that's been, like, creeping around the 8th floor since the renovation started. And we have alert and oriented residents reporting seeing this guy, always at night, always in the dark room. And the one guy was just, like, leaning over to put his prosthesis on to get himself to the bathroom.
Hmm.
All of a sudden, this male figure appears out of nowhere, kind of shadowy, and it's just, like, bad idea. Literally put his hands on the patient's shoulder and kind of pushed him back into bed and said, "Ring for help."
Whoa.
What? He touched him? Because normally you don't hear about, like, entities touching
people. He said there was actual physical contact.
Wow.
He was like, okay, so this gets creepier.
Oh, that's dark.
Then there was this woman. Yeah, it's pretty wild. There was this woman who just woke up, and she's in a, these are 4-bedrooms, and her room was pretty much vacant except for her.
Mm-hmm.
She woke up in the middle of the night, and there was just a dude sitting there on one of the adjacent beds, like cross-legged, just sitting there, and he goes, "This used to be a male occupancy-only room. When did they change it to female?" And she just kind of went back to sleep. Like,
whoa.
And then there was another guy who was helping himself to the bathroom, and the same figure came in. kind of helped him out and then turned on his call light so another staff member could come in.
Wait. So I just want to make sure I understand what you said. You said that the entity helped him to the bathroom?
The shadowy figure observed him, kind of like walked with him.
Kind of like a nurse would, right? Like, oh, I'm walking with you, exactly. Like helping you to the bathroom. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. weird.
Maybe he used to be a nurse.
This is the fun thing.
Oh.
Because the creepy part of it, this has been going on for weeks. These stories keep happening. And the one night shift nurse had all these interesting complaints from these three residents that were working up there, all of whom are alert and oriented, and they all described the same experience.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked her, like, who was the guy, like, on staff that night? And she looked at the staffing roster. There were no male staff on duty that night.
Wow. I bet he used to.
Kind of wild.
Yeah, that's really weird. I mean, it could be anything, right? But you usually don't hear about entities, like, making physical contact with people.
That was the
wild thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like they all described these similar things. Like, it was a guy, and he was, like, probably neither young nor old. It's just interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think on some level, like, energy just lingers in these buildings, especially in one that's that old. Because, like, if you consider that the site built on what it was since 1799, and I've been there for 16 years, I've seen hundreds of people die. Yeah. So they got to haunt the walls. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
That is really crazy. Yeah. Thank you so much for
having me. Yeah. I just had to call. I love you guys. I listen nightly, like I said.
Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you called. That was a really interesting story, too, and it just reminds me of similar experiences I had in the hospital that I worked at. Actually, I don't want to say that I had. Stories that I heard from other staff members.
Right.
Of the highest, we only had four floors, but of the fourth floor. So there was just like a lot of like weird similarities where we would have completely young, alert and oriented patients. So it's not like this is like a dementia patient or somebody that's on a ton of pain meds and they're confused. This would just be like a normal like 25-year-old kid or 30-year-old person that's completely alert and oriented that would, you know, have all of these strange experiences, or they'd be really creeped out. We've had things like fly, like the syringes of just like normal saline, like sterile fluid. We've had syringes like fly across the room, and it was in these two particular rooms, like way in the back. The call lights would go off. I know it was a vacant unit because we didn't have enough staff to staff it, and I was a CNA at the time, so the nurses sent me up to the fourth floor to get like telemeters and just whatever, like stuff for the patients. So essentially, like, I went up with my little cart and I was gonna fill up, like, jack all the supplies from up there. And the second I got off the elevator, I just had a creepy feeling, and it was like something was telling me to like turn around and go back to where you belong. But I'm like, I can't come back empty-handed, so like I gotta go, you know, get my supplies. So I go all the way down to get my supplies. And it was just real creepy, but other nurses had told me experiences that they had where bed alarms would go off, chair alarms would go off, like all sorts of stuff. And if you don't know how those work, you need to apply pressure to it and then lift up. And that's how the alarms work. Either that or maybe some sort of like electrical malfunction. But that's really weird for, like, all of them to have an electrical malfunction. Yeah. Nurses have told me before, like, on the night shift where, like, alarms would be going off and it was almost like something was saying, like, get out of here. You're not welcome here. This is my area. Leave. And it would just be, like, really scary.
So
after that, I was like, I'm never doing this ever again. Like, somebody else can go up there. Mm-hmm. I am. And nothing weird even happened to me. Nothing flew. Like, it was just, like, this overwhelmingly negative, scary sensation of like I'm not welcome here, and like
it's weird because like people used to describe that, and I wouldn't really know what they meant by like, oh, you know, that feeling of being watched,
like,
or
yeah,
being
like
unwelcome,
feeling of
too.
dread.
But it happened to my sister and I when we were walking through the woods before. We suddenly got this feeling that, like, we were not welcome. It was a bad idea to be there. And I was like, I think we should run. I don't even remember the exact conversation, but I was like, I think we should run. And we had my dogs with us, or my dog that I have now and her dog that she had then. And I went to run and I fell, and both of my shoes were untied. And we were like shocked because we had been hiking. Like, I'd been looking at my feet, moving around, and like this is a trail, you walk the trail. Like, we were off a trail just in this mountain that was by where I lived in Utah. And so, like, I felt both my shoes were untied, and I'm, like, shocked for a second, and my sister's laughing at me, and then all I could do was point at her. I couldn't say anything because I had, like, kind of had the air knocked out of me. Both of her shoes were untied, too.
What?
And we just got the heck out of there as fast
and it's like,
as possible.
What's the odds of both of your shoes being untied? And then what's the odds of also both of her shoes being untied?
Right.
Like, that's
and
crazy.
It's like we had to
that's
have
weird.
Been looking at our shoes throughout this whole time. The story that Ross called in and told, it's interesting because there was renovations going on, which I've heard of those, waking up ghosts in old buildings, and it's like right before
like almost like maybe
Halloween.
They're stored. In the walls or something, like the energy is stored like in the physical building.
Right.
Because now that I think about it, so the fourth floor was closed just because we didn't have staff. But there were also renovations other areas of the building. So I don't know if it's just there's so much stuff you don't know.
And it was right before Halloween. Like he said, it's been the last few weeks and
yeah, that's
whatnot.
Weird.
So it's like the veil getting thin on that day is what people say. Well, let's move on to another caller. We have an unscreened caller. What's on your mind? Are you there?
Yeah, it's Tom. I'm just bringing up another issue here. There's an imaginary right that kind of applies that the government respects for some people. You know, supposedly everyone is equal under the law. But it seems that if you can afford a house on a quiet side street, then you have a right to peace and quiet during certain hours of the day. There are streets here in Hudson where its trucks are prohibited 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. No trucks allowed because, the people living on that street, they're entitled to some peace and quiet if they're day shift workers trying to sleep at night. But, of course, night shift workers trying to sleep in the daytime, they're not entitled to that.
That's
weird. And if it's a site, you know, if you have a house on a quiet side street, you can get a lot more money for it because it's on a quiet side street than rather than if it was on a busy, noisy street. But it's not only expected that you're going to have less noise, but the government will deploy gun-toting goons in bulletproof vests to prevent somebody from opening a factory at the dead end of that dead end street because, oh my gosh, people would be driving up and down a public street. Like there's something terrible. You never catch the neighbors doing that, now would you? But they protect this right to peace and quiet for rich people, but then people who can't afford a house on a quiet side street, then it's okay to shall we say, attack them with a lot of noise.
One thing about it, I don't really know any of the laws he's talking about or anything like that. It's an interesting idea that the government is kind of synthetically, that's not the word I'm looking for, but unnaturally, inorganically creating houses that would be worth more and worth less based on the situations they're setting up with their laws for these public roads. It is kind of weird. It's not doesn't seem like a very good thing. But one thing it makes me think of is I feel like it's my responsibility for me to be able to make it to where I can sleep in my house because, like, if my neighbors are, like, have to wake up at a different hour than me and I happen to live in a duplex, I really do, So I live in a duplex. If my neighbors are up at a different time than me and I'm sleeping later into the afternoon or something like that because I always work late, I don't feel like I should be able to make them be quiet. What I do is I listen to a fan noise and nothing can wake me up. Nothing can wake me up when I have the fan noise just playing on my phone from YouTube right next to my head. I mean, it's free and it blocks all noise. Like, I don't know what kind of noise it would have to be. It would have to be like a helicopter, like, floating above my house or something to actually wake me up from this fan noise. So
there are lots of laws, though, that are not really laws for people if they have enough money.
Right.
Yeah.
Anything punishable by a fine is legal for a certain amount.
Right. That's so true. Well, I don't really know the law he's talking about, and he kind of rambles. So, David in New Mexico, what's on your mind, David?
La Llorona.
Oh, my God.
Did you call for La Llorona, cabrón?
I didn't call for one. It's terrifying.
Oh, okay. Oh, well.
David?
Yeah, I got a real life scary story. I got a lot of them. But, you know, first of all, you're talking about the old, alms for the poor. I think that's a line out of some movie, probably Monty Python. But that is to two things. One, let's see, you're talking about the hospital, and I worked at the University of Minnesota teaching hospital for a couple of years, and I was trying to decide if I wanted to go to medical school. And I decided, hell no. And I ended up with a girlfriend who was also working at the hospital, and she showed me the old, it was like, they kept building this thing, you know, it was like 1860, 1880, 1930, they kept adding on. So she showed me the old operating room that was last used in like 1950s, and it was intact. It had the operating room theater above it, with all the seating above it, and the old stainless steel operating table, all the tools,
That's cool. That's actually really cool.
Yeah.
Creepy.
It was creepy, yeah, and it was intact. And so she showed that to me. And then one day at work, we both worked at the same time, she got horny.
Oh, my God. Can you hear on the radio?
Yeah.
Well, he did, so yeah.
You can say that word, yeah. I didn't tell you anything else. I just said, and so you can, your kinky little imaginations can figure out the rest of it.
All right.
So in the operating room. I don't want to think about it with you.
Think about how many people died on that table, died in that room. Oh, my God.
Thank you for the call. Well, did you have more?
Huh?
Sorry, did you have more?
I want to hear the rest of the story.
There's more to that story?
Well, there's more to that story, but I'm telling you the rest. That's private, you kinky little devil.
Right.
So,
I thought there was going to be like a punchline or something, like, you know, whatever, something scary happened in the room or
something.
Someone
grabbed my foot.
I think getting busy on an operating table in an operating theater with all of the adornments from 1950s.
Yeah, I guess that's enough, right?
I don't think that counts as a paranormal experience.
Yeah, that was it was divine. Yes, it was heavenly.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, David. I'm pretty sure that was...
Bonnie's had enough of that. She's like, you're done.
I don't like that word. Like, seriously, it's my least favorite word.
Really?
It's a gross word. There needs to be a new one. I don't like it. Yes, Captain is asking me if that's the word I mean, and it is.
What about moist?
Ew, no.
Randy.
Randy. Oh,
that's much better, yeah.
I knew a woman named Randy, and, like, that's a terrible thing to name your daughter. It's like Randy with an I, so it's a girl name.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It's like what country people do.
What country people do?
She's from Tennessee, and her name was Randy.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking about her today because she used to be my boss. I don't know why I would tell the radio all this whole story, but she used to be my boss when I cleaned houses. And I was thinking about her today and what a bad person she is. I don't even really feel bad for making fun of her name on the radio. But I think that that's all that we have about the David story. But I don't know. Were you going to tell another story, but did you want to say it on the air? Or if not, I think we could move on from the paranormal conversations. It's been really fun. I'm glad that people called in with their experiences, especially Ross, especially since it's your first call and you've been a long time listener.
That's awesome. I love like first call, long time listeners.
Right. Me too. It's always like, wow, it's so crazy to think who's like out there listening to us.
Yeah.
When it's
sometimes I forget that people listen to this show.
Seriously.
I just feel like we're just like hanging out.
Exactly.
And then,
I feel the exact same way.
Are we not?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
We all
like, wait,
are
people are listening to us?
But people are also listening to us just hang out. Oh, and we had lost her, but Sarah in New Mexico, you're back. Sarah, what's on your mind?
Hello, am I on?
Yep, you are.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know I got on so fast. I just want to say that, you know, they finally put the city councilors, all that's running, like, on the TV. And then we only have, like, 4 days of voting left. It's the most stupidest thing that they have done.
I thought you can't vote for them, right?
No, I cannot.
Yeah, you have odd numbers or even numbers or whatever
right.
it was.
But I've seen three candidates. It's kind of interesting. I've seen three candidates to District 2 last night, and I saw two of them to District 8. And this is the first time that they put the city councilors on the TV news ever.
Maybe more people have an internet like to find these things out now.
Well, they're actually on the television news. That you're supposed to do your own research. They tell you to go to this website, but I guess people wanted them. They wanted them to see on TV. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So they finally got put them on. Then we only have like 4 days left to vote or something.
So do you have a theory? Like, is this like a conspiracy? Like, are they trying to keep people from knowing the city council candidates?
Well, I'm just happy that they have any kind of city councilors on at all. I've lived here for 23 years. They've never had city councilors talk about what they want to do on TV at all. So I'm just really happy, like, they started to do that, because they always like, oh, it's only 4 seats for politicians. You go look it up yourself on the internet. You go find out who they are, you know. But I just think that I was standing in running around like a crazy person with a 2.3 vote sign has helped to fuel this. You know, a lot of people are interested.
Well, I'm glad you're excited, Sarah. And it seems like there's lots of things that happen that Sarah believes were because of her. Like, all
yeah.
this time, it was all because she was carrying this sign or whatever it is. But maybe she's right. I would look stupid if she's right. And, and in our afterlife, God comes and reveals to me that Sarah
in New Mexico was right about everything.
Right about everything. So who am I to say? But, I don't have much to say about that topic that she brought in. She has, she has her city council.
I honestly, like,
news.
Can't even express how much I don't care.
I know,
about
I'm
that.
Excited to say it, but I'm happy that Sarah's happy.
Yeah,
that she's
I'm happy for her, I guess.
Did we basically get through everything that you had to say about the story that basically we were talking about an hour ago at this point that was about the surveillance state, that the UN wants to have 50 countries in 5 years in on their little scheme to surveil people?
There's some other things, like they say it's imperative to have everyone have a digital ID.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about thanks.
Like, not
that
a fan.
Coming up. I'm not a fan of that either. I mean, what the real ID? 603-283-6160. Would you sign up for the digital infrastructure and ID system? It's Free Talk Live, and more is coming up.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
USA News Update. Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer said today that a Republican plan to offer assistance to Israel is bound to fail in the Senate, citing what he called partisan poison pills within the bill.
Israel has suffered the worst terrorist attack in its history. It needs help, but House Republicans are asking a price for helping them by cutting off funding that holds rich tax cheats accountable. That ain't happening, House.
Approximately 5,000 migrants from Central and South America are moving northward through Mexico, headed for the southern border. Texas Democratic Congressman Henry Cuellar says caravans are a recurring situation, but they won't be allowed in if they make it.
89 to 90% of them don't have a right to get asylum. They're coming in because of economic reasons, or they want to join their family.
This caravan marks the largest since June of the previous year. Dave Collins, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Is the phone number to get in on this last segment with us. We've been having a really fun conversation here tonight about all kinds of different things, like the governments and laws and, you know, war crimes and surveillance state, and then even people's personal paranormal experiences, which was really fun for me. I kind of wanted people to do that all October, but yeah, I don't care if it's late. Like, I'm always in a mood to talk about that kind of stuff. Like, it's interesting to me. But it's even more, for some reason, just amplified and more fun during Halloween season, or like October. But yeah, we've been talking also about something that's equally as spooky. The UN wanting to get 50 countries in 5 years to join their surveillance state, ramp up, basically. And so one thing that Lori was telling us before the break was that they want people to get in on this digital ID thing. But before we get into that, I would like to thank Brian, who's a silver level amplifier. And if you don't know what an amplifier is, that's someone who helps amplify, market, and promote and support the show. So if you would like to learn more about that, it's AMPS, Amplify, Market, Promote, and Support. Amps.freetalklive.com is where you can go to find out more. That's amps.freetalklive.com. And thank you so much to Brian, who's a silver level amplifier. That means that he gives $5 a month, and you get some different perks for becoming an amplifier, and you can learn more about that at amps.freetalklive.com. But With you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Nikki.
And Lori was telling us more about this digital ID idea.
Again, this is sociable.co. So they go on to say the 50 and 5 campaign is a collaboration between the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the United Nations Development Program, the Digital Public Goods Alliance, and CoDevelop. CoDevelop was founded by the Rockefeller Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Nalkani Philanthropies, and the Omidar Network.
I only know the first two.
Me too. The Digital Public Goods Alliance lists both the Gates and Rockefeller Foundations in its roadmap showcasing activities that advance digital public goods along with other organizations and several governments. People-centered smart cities need accessible, secure, and fair digital public infrastructure that powers digital services and ensures everyone has equal opportunity to fully participate in civic life.
That is bad woke language when they're just trying to make you feel like we're on the side of people. It's people-centered. Like, it's gotten to a point where they have to try to convince us that they like people. They're definitely lizard people.
That's from the United Nations Building and Securing Digital Public Infrastructure Playbook from June 2022. The United Nations Playbook on Digital Public Infrastructure says that digital ID is foundational to DPI, stating, broadly, there are three major types of protocols that facilitate digital public infrastructure: digital identity, digital payments, and data exchange. These three protocols are typically required for most digital service transactions, such as permitting, issuing licenses, or providing records that often require validating a user's identity, enabling exchange of data across agencies and users, and finally authorizing payments online. By prioritizing these three protocols, the UN says that local governments can set the stage for successful development of an entire ecosystem of digital services in alignment with their community's unique needs.
The main thing that this makes me think is you shouldn't ever let them tell you what you need. Like, I don't go around needing digital payments that are tracked by the government. Like, I was trading silver with a friend recently. I was paid in silver for something, is what I mean. I don't need the government to know about that. I mean, I guess I just told them because the FBI listens to the show. But it wasn't
necessary. But, it doesn't need to be reported, right? You know what I mean?
And it's not like it needed to be digital. I don't think that most people would agree that we, quote-unquote, need to get rid of cash. Like, oh, well, there's credit cards now. Yeah, there are credit cards, but don't you like being able to just give the boy in the neighborhood some cash to mow your lawn instead of having to report it and then he has to get taxed and just the government knowing at all about it?
Right, or even knowing what I'm buying. What if I'm buying something embarrassing at the store and I don't want anyone to know? Why do I want that on my records?
Yeah.
I've never needed to verify my identity online for anything. I don't need a digital ID.
Yep. And it's like, when you don't grow up with people who really think much about this, the surveillance state getting worse and worse, I didn't grow up with my parents being like Chris Wade, who is a former host on the show, and a friend of ours. He's all about privacy. He sells VPNs for a living. And I kind of asked him one time early on in the show when I was first doing the show and I was on an episode with him and Captain. I asked him, why is it that you don't want the government to know, like, why wouldn't you want them to know your like what you're buying? Like, just what? I didn't grow up thinking like this, so I asked that, such a simple question like that. And he said, well, for example, the government can use, like, if there was a murder in the, like, neighborhood you're in, they can, like, pull up Home Depot receipts and find people that have bought hammers that day and literally will arrest people without due process for things like buying something similar to what somebody might have been killed with, like in the surrounding area of what they're in that day.
Well,
like,
they've
never heard that.
Yeah, like, you wouldn't think about that, right?
Right.
But that's real. Or there is one murder where they were looking for a suspect for something. So they used, like, Apple, like, iPhone tracking, or maybe all phone tracking, I don't know. But they used that to see who was in the area of said crime.
Well, even data is the thing that you're using to pay all these free online services.
Right.
So why, if it's profitable for somebody, should I be forced by the government to give it to them for free. Yeah. I'm not a commodity of the government. I'm a human being.
Right. Like your information is what they want. That's why they do free games or weird little things. Like one thing I've heard is data mining that is so weird. I like lost what I was about to say because I said data when I usually say data, but I've heard that this is data mining. Whenever you see on Facebook a post that'll be like, what was your childhood? What was your mom's maiden name? And everybody's commenting it.
What's your social security
number?
Yeah,
right.
Find out what Pokemon you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
those really are apparently data mining things sometimes.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it is. It's weird.
People just give their data away for free.
Right.
They voluntarily pay to give it away, like in 23andMe. And insurance companies are now buying that data.
I actually, this morning, I had a patient come up to me because I think she was watching the news. And she came up to me all flustered and she was like, oh my gosh, I just heard that one of the DNA things had a data breach where they found like everyone's name, their address, their gender, and like a bunch of personal information. And she was really worried. She's like, I just got that done. Me and my daughters got that done because I have some sort of heart defect thing. Hmm. So they were getting it done to see if they had the genetic trait for it or whatever, if they had, the genes for it. And so she was all freaked out. And she was like, I didn't even know this was possible. Like, and it's just unfortunate. She was like, you know, we were just trying to do a good thing to see if they were going to get what I have or pass it on to their children. And now, like, all of our personal, like, she was really freaked out about it. And I'm like, I don't blame you. Like, just this random hacker knowing your name and your address enough, never mind, like, all of your personal health information and all this other stuff. You know what I mean?
It's just a weird thing to me that people do all this testing to find out. Like, my sister used to be obsessed and was telling me, before you get married, you need to take this test that'll tell you, like, what things our parents have passed down to us. So that way, you don't marry somebody who has the same ones, and then you and your kid might end up giving your kids that. I was like, I wouldn't marry someone based on, like, how pure our kids' genes were going to be.
Yeah.
I would marry them based on
weird.
Loving
and
apps. But people do that.
But I think that so many people, like, blame their bad health on bad genetics. And once you start studying epigenetics and, like, realizing, like, no, there are things you can do to turn these genes on or off. Like, this isn't a death sentence. Just because your dad had diabetes doesn't mean, like, yeah, you might be predisposed
more likely
for that. But how about you stop eating sugar and carbs? And, like, then you won't get those things. So, like, there's always things people can do to, like, better, there's things you can do literally while you're pregnant to better your child's chances to be healthy when they're born.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, all of these things you can do when they're a very young child to, like, help them be healthier. And then they have to make those decisions as an adult. So, like, these things aren't just, like, a life sentence. So, like, people get really obsessed with that. And I feel like it also kind of, like, manifests it, right? So, like, there's a lot of, like,
I feel like I
genetic
know that I'm
testing.
Predisposed to get
yeah.
there. Yeah.
Like, you're
totally
thinking about it.
Get it. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and you become, like, obsessed with it. And I totally think that you can, like, unintentionally, like, call those things into your life.
There's so many weird little freak things that happen during pregnancy anyway that can go wrong that you'd never know through testing.
Yeah.
So, to say, oh, you don't marry somebody on the off chance you might pass something down to your kids when just random happenstance could happen.
Yeah,
kids come out with something anyway.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's no way to. And there's
like
so many things
Hitler.
You don't know, you know what I mean?
I told her that was, like, kind of Hitler of her, too. It's like, what? Like,
yeah, like,
needs to be, like, finding.
What
only
is that called?
The
eugenics?
Eugenics. That's exactly what I was saying.
Yeah.
There are some things. Like, what is it called? Fatal familial insomnia. You probably shouldn't have kids.
What is
I
that?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, so one day you just never go to sleep again and you die.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh my gosh.
And it's genetic, and so
yeah, don't reproduce if
don't
you have
reproduce
that.
If you have that. Like if you have something like that, maybe don't.
Yeah.
But
I didn't know back then that I like definitely wasn't going to reproduce anyway. But now I definitely am not going to reproduce anyway. But I just wouldn't have married anyone based on I wouldn't have broke up with someone that I was like in love enough to marry and have kids with just based on we got these test results back.
Yeah. There's so many different factors. Right. And, like, there's so many, like, if a woman's over 35, you know, like, you have all these risk factors. And then also, like, if a man, like, if your partner, if the male, you know, part of the whatever reproduction,
yeah.
If they are older, like, there's also certain things. But, like, there's also the possibility that none of that stuff could happen, right. And you could have a perfectly healthy, normal baby.
Actually,
and then, like, two, like, teenagers could have a baby, and their kid could have a bunch of birth defects. So it's like there's really no way. There's so many unknowns. It's like you can't really control that stuff. And it's like I think when we try to play God and, like, try to control things a little too much, things go awry.
And then there's all the garbage DNA they say people have.
Oh, yeah, you don't need it anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything.
Like, yeah, I'm sure.
It's just there for no reason at all.
I don't believe that at all. And it's like majority of your DNA information is, quote, garbage DNA. And I think that has a lot to do with the epigenetic stuff that Nikki's talking about. It's like you can turn on things that you didn't know were even there.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there was things that we used to be able to access that we can't access anymore. Basically, turning the whole conversation back to what we were talking about earlier. It's like one thing I wanted to bring up back then when we were talking about that is the people in, like, Ireland who would talk about, like, the Celtic people who would talk about, oh, yeah, I totally saw a gnome. Maybe not a gnome, like, that's not what they would have called it. But so many of them would talk about, there's historical accounts of so many people from, like, that area, and also other areas, but that area was, like, huge. Just, like, it was everyday normal life. Yeah, like, I was walking down the street and I saw XYZ fairy type thing. Why would they all be crazy? Why would they all be lying? You know, why would they all... I think that people just used to be able to perceive things that we can't now that are probably, like, something...
It's kind of crazy to, like, write off thousands of people as just being crazy. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's,
or
like,
just
no,
oh, it's a
you're just confused. Every single one of you was mistaken.
Right.
It's like, oh, okay, sure.
I think times have just changed, and we just, you know, we don't have the ability to see those things anymore. Use our junk DNA for what it was used for, do different things with our bodies, where, like, I don't know, maybe it's true that there used to be a lot fewer cases of things like cancer and autoimmune diseases because of the fact that people were more in tune with their bodies. And, you know,
or because there wasn't so much, like, toxins and pollutants, you know what I mean? It's like
they're trying to kill
forever chemicals and everything.
And that's the thing, too. It's like, yeah, we didn't have all these diseases because now it's like everything's plastic. All the pesticides. I mean, you literally can't run away from this stuff. It's
companies
in your clothes.
Just jumping chemicals into the water.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the water supply, the air, like, everything is contaminated. And I was, you know, having a discussion with a midwife about this where we were talking about EMFs and, like, you know, how, like, coaching pregnant women on, like, don't use your laptop with it on your belly and, like, just simple things you can do to, like, reduce your baby's exposure to EMFs and stuff like that. And she was like, you know, I tell people all this stuff, but at the end of the day, they're still being exposed to 5G, to, you know, air pollutants, to, you know, everything in their food. Like, even if you eat super healthy, it's like there still might be pesticides in your food.
Microplastics.
Like, there's microplastics, right? Like, there's no way.
People peeing their antidepressants into the water supply.
Yeah, like, literally. They're like, there's no way to avoid, or it's extremely hard to avoid a lot of these things. So it's like, yeah, you can do your best, but still. And I think that the conversation stemmed from, we were talking about the necessity of ultrasounds, and I'm like, well, you know, previously, like, people didn't use ultrasounds. Like, is that really necessary? And she was like, well, I mean, like, obviously it's a personal decision, but there's a lot of birth defects. Like, there's a lot of stuff that we weren't exposed to. So, like, you know, it can sometimes be nice to have a fetal anatomy scan just to make sure, yeah, baby's organs are on the inside and whatnot. But
yeah. And that is, like, definitely a personal choice because, like, I totally understand the side of not wanting to subject your kids to whatever raise they get with, and I also totally understand I might not want to carry the baby to term if its organs are on the outside, like you said, or whatever.
Well, and there's certain things that, like, in the home birth setting, like, that isn't compatible for life in the home birth setting.
Yeah.
You need to birth in the hospital.
Right.
But also, like, you know, you kind of need to make terms for that because my stance was, at the time, I was very anti-ultrasound, mm-hmm. and I'm like, I think it's bad. Like, these are my reasons. So I was kind of, I wanted to reach out to somebody because I'm like, can you, like, what is your point of this? Because I see you're ordering ultrasounds. Like, what do you feel about this? And that was her thing. Like, I think the pros outweigh the cons if you're using the technology responsibly. But also, like, the majority of babies are born perfectly healthy and fine.
And the other thing is, there are people that go and get their babies, like, a million ultrasounds because they're so excited to see them. Like, I have a friend. She's a really sweet girl. She's not stupid or anything like that, but she has had three babies, and one was twins, or two were twins, so she's been pregnant twice is what I'm trying to say. And nothing's wrong with the kids or anything, but she would go to these, like, 24/7 clinics where you can just go get ultrasounds over and over again.
Mm-hmm, the 3D ultrasound.
Mm-hmm, yes. Yeah, all that stuff. And it really should be. And that's it's nice that people are excited. And I think they're just misinformed. Like, people don't know about this stuff, like what you're exposing your child to, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Or even, like, the early ultrasounds, like, you know.
Probably
I mean,
way worse.
Yeah, it's just,
oh, you mean early in pregnancy.
Yeah.
So that probably is worse, too. I thought you meant, like, when they first invented ultrasounds.
Oh, they were using x-rays.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you have to think about it. So, like, that's the other thing with ultrasounds, right? So, previously, we were using x-rays. Now, if you're a nurse and you're pregnant, you're not even allowed in the x-ray room.
Yeah.
So, like, you can't even be exposed to that. Like, it's really serious because we know the negative interactions of that technology. Ultrasounds, it's like, okay, well, this is a new-ish technology. Yes, it's been studied. Yes, we know it's relatively safe. But what happens in 10 years when they come out with all of these negative things that are happening because of the ultrasounds, or maybe because of the other things that doctors are prescribing for women during pregnancy? And it's like, so to call someone negligent for opting out of these things, it's like, you don't really know what that's doing to you or your baby. So right. It absolutely is a personal decision. And I don't think people should be shamed because they don't want to do all of the testing that your doctor is, like, shaming you into.
Yeah.
It's okay, you don't need it.
Even vets will shame you into things that they want you to do with your dog.
Yeah, that's how they make money.
Yeah. I don't really want to talk about the whole thing, but my vet is doing it to me right now. But after I put my foot down about it once, like, she drops it. And that just makes it so clear to me that she's just trying to get money. And as soon as she realizes it's not going to be easy, like, she just thought, like, oh, she's young and she'll do whatever.
Yeah.
At one point, I literally was like, okay, listen, I need to talk to my husband about this, okay? And she has not called me back about this test mm-hmm. she wanted me to get yeah. my dog done.
So my youngest, I did my own health care, really.
Yeah.
And I didn't get any ultrasounds, and I had her in a hospital because there was no other option where we yeah. were. And so after I had her, I'm O negative, and the nurse came in.
Yeah, you need the Rogam.
The nurse came in, and she was like, you're sensitized now, and you can't have any more kids. And I was like, oh, really?
Oh, really? Okay.
And then I got the
what
my babies. So when you are O negative, if you get cross placental blood, then your body, the next time you're pregnant, will reject the baby mm-hmm. because you build up antibodies
mm-hmm.
That you didn't originally have
okay.
to the baby's blood. But I got her paperwork, and she's also O negative, and I was like, so how exactly
like
do you think that I'm sensitized? Because I wasn't when I had my last daughter, because I got tested right after, because she's not the same blood type.
Yeah.
And she is blood type as me, so will you yeah. explain that to me? And she's like, I'll go look into that.
Literally,
she never came back and never said anything.
And this is the thing, too.
They'll just straight lie to you.
Yeah, so there's, several women who, like, so say if you and your partner are both O negative, you don't need Rogam. Like,
yeah.
there's zero chance that your baby is going to be positive.
What is this? Is that the drug?
Yeah. So Rogam, it's actually not a drug. It's a blood product that they make from other people, like serum from other people's blood.
Oh, my God.
So that's why a lot of people don't want it, and it's very common to have reactions to it, so a lot of people try to avoid it, whatever. So if you and your partner are both negative blood type, your baby can't be positive. Like, that's not how blood typing works.
Hmm.
So a lot of, like, women will be like, they'll be like, oh, yeah, it's 28 weeks. You need your Rogam. And they're like, oh, no, my partner's negative, so I actually don't need it. And they're like, essentially, like, and women have told me that the doctor has legit said this to them. Well, we don't know that it's his baby.
Oh.
All right, well, we're married, and that's the only person that, I know who I had sex with. Like, that's his child.
That's terrible.
And they're like, well, like, just in case, like, they essentially do not believe you. When you tell your doctors things, they don't always, I mean, and some doctors and nurses are good. Yeah, yeah, but they'll lie to you, and they're like,
no, you gotta pay for the Rogam or whatever.
Yeah, of course, all your insurance does, or you do, whatever,
yeah.
but they're trying to check off the box. And they're like, nope, we just have to do all these things. And I think a lot of times, like, when you're sharing information with your healthcare provider, they don't always believe you. And it's like, that's just so sad. And it's like, oh, and you're going to like be there to like help me through my birth and I'm supposed to trust you when you don't even trust me?
Medical gaslighting. That's not real.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like crazy. And it, like the first woman that told that to me, I was like, no, like that's insane. I can't believe they said that to you. And then after that, like since then, I've heard at least like 10, 15 women from all over the country say this. So this is like a common thing where they'll be like, no, we don't believe you. Or they'll say that in like a less like abrasive way. Like, oh, just in case. And
just
they're
in
like,
case
well, you're a doctor. Do you know how blood typing works? Like,
why would I take something just in case that I don't need?
Yeah. And then if you're like, oh, well, I had this reaction to it. Like I got this rash or I got really sick. Like, it's one of the side effects from the Rogaine. Like, I think that was due to it. A lot of the times they'll be like, no, I don't think so. That doesn't really happen. And they're like, but it's on, it's listed as one of the side effects.
Must have been something else. I don't know.
Well, yeah. And speaking of them wanting to just check things off so that way they have their butts covered, one thing that really is so scary to me about, like, people's stories of having babies that I've heard, a friend that just recently had a baby, it was her fourth baby. And she had had a C-section the time before, like her third baby, and this baby was going to come naturally, and she started labor, but then it ended up being fake labor, and her due date was coming up where they were like, okay, so if you don't have the baby by the 4th, we're going to, cut it out, have a C-section. And she said, well, what if the baby, like, since I keep having these contractions, what if I actually go into labor and I just start having the baby before then, which is what happened. But she said, the doctor said to her, well, we're just going to go ahead with cutting you open anyway then, because that's our game plan.
Right.
Like, that's so messed up to do to someone.
Because it's easier. Because they can plan that. So instead of having a mystery length of labor.
In work.
It's a lot harder. It's like, just, you know, let's just schedule, you know, a major abdominal surgery where they cut through 7 layers of tissue.
Right. She had a terrible
deal.
Instead of doing the thing your body was made to do.
No big deal.
Right. This was an interesting show tonight, so if you have any thoughts about this, we're going to be back on tomorrow. It's 603-283-6160. Put that in your phone, and you can call in with whatever is on your mind. It's been Free Talk Live, and you can find more at freetalklive.com. Peace.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.